If you ignore the commentary about whether Senator Conroy's proposed shake-up of the media landscape is a political misstep or not, and you ignore the self-interest of media companies that are trying to maximise profits, what does the proposed bill, or the proposed, I think there's six of them actually, what do the proposed bills mean for media in regional areas? Well, much of the focus in the media has been about whether an independent overseer of the Press Council amounts to an assault on freedom of the freedom of the press. But there are also changes to the so-called reach rule, which could mean takeovers that directly affect free-to-air TV. Stephen Mayne is a media commentator, shareholder activist, and he blogs about corporate governance on the Mayne Report. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There are six main changes to media regulation here. If we can look at a few of them more closely. Firstly, the print media is scathing at the concept of having a public interest advocate oversee the Press Council. Why?
Frankly, I think it's just self-interest. I mean, I did work for 7 years for News Limited myself over the years, and they love to control the debate and dominate things, and they certainly don't have free speech within the company. No one's allowed to criticise the Murdoch family, but they just think that having an independent government-appointed watchdog checking to see whether the Press Council is adhering to its own standards is an intrusion on their ability to say whatever they like about anyone, anytime they like. So, I think that, you know, the Murdochs have a majority position in Australian newspapers, a monopoly over Australian pay TV. Lachlan Murdoch is the chairman of Channel 10. They own the DMG radio network. So they've never been more dominant, and they'd like to own more. And so they're taking on a government which wants to try and bring the press into some sort of regulation where people can have a right of reply and people can't be done over unfairly, as obviously occurred in the UK with the phone hacking, which was criminality on an industrial scale.
Could it amount to any sort of government control over the media if the independent, so-called independent appointee, is in fact appointed by the government? I mean, there are examples of where independent operators can oversee other interests that aren't necessarily directly controlled by government, aren't they?
Well, I completely agree. I mean, judges are appointed by governments, but they're independent. The head of the Reserve Bank, the head of the ACCC, the head of ACMA. It all depends on the legislation. As long as the minister can't ring the person and direct them how to behave, then it's an independent statutory position. Sure, you can appoint someone, but ultimately, I think it's a storm in a teacup, frankly, that the newspaper companies are carrying on so much. The Press Council has been an absolute joke over the years. Self-regulation, where, you know, it's like being hit with a damp lettuce leaf when the Press Council hits you. And the three successive past chairs of the Press Council all talked about their lack of independence and their lack of funding and the fact that they were controlled by the media moguls or the newspaper companies. So it is pretty amazing. I've never seen such sort of naked self-interest, vested interests, dominating public discussion. I guess the media is demonstrating once and for all at the moment that you can't take them on or they'll just slaughter you.
Another move is to introduce a public interest test before there are mergers that are allowed to go ahead, which on the face of it seems reasonable, but it's been slammed by media bosses as well. Why?
Well, again, I think, well, the Murdochs would like to buy Channel 10 and like to buy the other 50% of Foxtel currently owned by Telstra. So there's no shortage of the dominance of the most dominant, powerful family in the world, the Murdochs. And so, they're attacking everything here, so they may as well attack the public interest test. At the moment, the ACCC nominally controls mergers, and so I can't really see the need to introduce a new public interest test over the top of that, but equally I can't see the harm in it either. I mean, we used to have a rule which was that foreign investors would have to get government approval to buy media assets. I mean, that was a public interest test. And that all disappeared, much of that disappeared when Steve Fielding gave John Howard control in the Senate, and they repealed many of the cross-media and foreign ownership limitations, and we finished up with a bunch of foreign equity, private equity funds investing in Channel 9 and Channel 7, and we lost a lot of our diversity at that point. So I think the horse has bolted. We've already got far too much concentration. The top two newspaper companies have 86% of the circulation in Australia, whereas the equivalent figure in the US is something like 16%. So we're already ridiculously concentrated, but this would just be a new test which would try and check if there's a public interest in allowing future mergers.
Well, let's look at broadcasting. The another change is that the government wants to make permanent the 50% reduction in the licence fees paid by commercial television broadcasters. Of course, the public owns the spectrum. Commercial television broadcasters rent that spectrum, if you like. They're going to get a 50% cut in their licence fees. That seems to not have sweetened the deal any as far as the media bosses are concerned.
Yeah, well, it's sort of pretty bizarre the way that the News Limited and the Murdochs seem to have, you know, rallied everyone to the cause of saying everything in this proposal is a disaster, when the shareholders in the three television networks are going to save a lot of money if this legislation goes through with a permanent reduction. So I think it's a bit confusing that the reason why Channel 7 is carrying on so much, Kerry Stokes was in Parliament yesterday, is because he fears a merger of Channel 9 with Southern Cross Media, particularly because it'll make Channel 9, their business, bigger than Kerry's business, and the Austereo Radio Network, which is owned by Southern Cross, would be very powerful if put together with all the Channel 9 networks. So it's just self-interest. Kerry Stokes doesn't want Channel 9 to be bigger and tougher and stronger than Channel 7, so he's prepared to torpedo the whole package, even though the government is offering, frankly, a ridiculously generous tax break for the free-to-airs. I mean, no one else is getting a tax break in the current sort of austerity measures of the budget, and where taxes are having to go up because the government's got a big deficit. So why on earth these powerful television companies are getting a 50% rate cut is ridiculous. But having offered it, they're now all slaughtering the government as well. So it's a pretty bizarre situation when someone gets offered a tax cut and they say, get stuffed, this is terrible.
That merger could only happen if the 75% reach rule is abolished, which means that essentially one company can't reach more than 75% of the Australian population. Southern Cross controls regional Channel 10 stations at the moment, if you like, and as well as the radio interests. Nine is affiliated with Wynn and, of course, owns NBN. What will happen if that merger is allowed to go ahead? If the 75% reach rule is abolished and that merger is allowed to go ahead, what will happen to regional television?
Well, it would all depend on the conditions, but you would think that it would potentially be a threat to regional broadcasting, because the 75% rule ensures that there are, in Australia's case, there's three major regional television companies, Bruce Gordon and Wynn, Prime, controlled by the billionaire Paul Ramsay, and then Southern Cross Media, controlled by Macquarie Bank, which owns about 23%. They would all get snapped up pretty quickly, in my view, if you got rid of the 75% reach rule. And the economics of the takeovers would very much rely on efficiencies and this sort of stuff. So I think there is a very genuine argument about risk to local content from getting rid of the 75% rule and having more centralisation. So any deal which was to proceed along those lines, I'd imagine you'd need to negotiate specific protections for the independent news services in particular areas. So I think the National Party will resist this very strongly. So I suspect the whole package is going to be defeated. And that's an interesting element here, because it's literally a $4 billion merger deal which has been informally struck between Nine and Southern Cross, and they are literally contingent on this legislative change, which is now being opposed by Channel 10 and Channel 7, purely out of self-interest that they don't want to see Channel 9 do a deal with Southern Cross.
Well, yesterday, Nine's chief, David Gingell, said that if the reach rule was removed, he'd give an ironclad guarantee that the Nine network would continue to deliver high-quality local content from its regional centres. Can that be believed?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think that if it was a contract, I mean, at the end of the day, television licences are a licence from the government. So it's not like a bank saying we won't close any branches. You can't stop a bank from closing a branch in a country town because it's private land. But you can impact the resourcing around television licences, because ultimately the government can take the licence away and say, we will remove your licence and we will re-tender the licence to somebody else. So I believe that legislation and conditions could preserve local content if you tried really hard, and that the 75% reach rule is a bit anachronistic with the internet and everything else. But it doesn't get to the biggest problem in Australia, which is just, you know, the sheer dominance of the Murdoch family. I mean, if you want to talk about diversity, that is the big problem, where you've got one family with a majority of newspapers and a majority of pay TV and the chairmanship of Channel 10 and the radio interests, and you know, dominate a lot of the web traffic through their newspaper website. So that's the biggest issue for diversity. But the regional question is an interesting one, although I don't think the legislation is going to get through. And maybe these news TV companies will also miss out on their tax cut, which would be most ironic.
On ABC North Coast, my guest is Stephen Mayne, media commentator and shareholder activist. And we're talking about the changes that Senator Conroy is trying to hastily push through. He left only 10 days for it to be discussed in Parliament. We're looking at what the impact might be, particularly in regional areas. At the moment, there is a point system for companies that operate in regional areas to maintain a certain amount of local content. And there are varying degrees to which that's been interpreted, shall we say. Some television companies have opted to maintain local regional news services. Others are doing updates from centres way remote from the area in which they're covering. Is that likely to remain the case? And how can you ensure that a model that ensures that genuine local content is actually delivered as part of these agreements? How can that be ensured?
Well, it is difficult to ensure. I mean, obviously, there's been commitments made. There's a system which tracks it. There are regulations in place. We haven't seen a substantial reduction in regional services, that, you know, particularly in most recent years. There was a series of mergers that have happened in the past, and I know that, you know, for instance, when Southern Cross Broadcasting did a whole bunch of takeovers of Telecasters Australia, they, you know, closed Darwin and merged Canberra with the Cairns. I mean, I can't remember the detail, but there was a whole range of different regionalisation issues where it was shut down and centralised. Similarly with radio, when Macquarie Bank bought out Reg Grundy and bought a couple of different radio businesses, they were producing the news, you know, for Western Australia out of Canberra, and there was all this sort of centralisation. But it hasn't accelerated particularly in recent years. All that happened between 5 and 10 years ago. So I think the system is working reasonably well at the moment, particularly given the stress on the advertising market for free-to-air television. So Macquarie Bank has lost a lot of money. They've lost a lot of money buying all those regional radio and TV licences. I mean, the CEO of Macquarie Bank has personally lost more than $5 million. On that. So it hasn't worked for them, and they're trying to sell out, and that's partly why they're trying to do this merger deal with Channel 9 at the moment, so Macquarie Bank can get out of the regional broadcasting industry, which has hurt them a lot.
Well, it's yet to be seen whether these changes, as we've said, will go through, and it certainly doesn't. It almost looks like it was set up to fail, Stephen Mayne. If we can talk about the politics just for a moment, why do you think that Senator Conroy left so little time for this to be discussed? And came out of the gates with such pace.
Well, I think he was always determined to do something. If he did nothing, it would be an embarrassment to him. And basically, he was being urged by some members of the caucus to do something. The PM was resisting it for a while and sort of saying, why do I need to pick a fight with the media? And eventually she said, OK, we'll do it, but I don't want this to dominate and ruin the budget. So if you're going to do this, you've got to put it up, we'll have a short debate, and it's either got to succeed or fail. So I think that they both underestimated the backlash from the sheer outrage that has appropriately followed this question. You can put up six pieces of legislation and have the whole thing approved in a week. I mean, it's just frankly ridiculous. So whoever came up with that idea, the PM has given her imprimatur to it. I'm not surprised that the numbers for Kevin Rudd look like he's getting very close to a majority, because this has been ineptly handled, no matter how you look at it. And even the staunchest Gillard supporters are looking at this and just saying, why would you cause a war with the media in a ridiculous process of rushed legislation? It's just political incompetence. And so, frankly, I think this, the way it's looking, this will be like Kevin Rudd's mining tax, that it will be the issue that potentially brings the PM's leadership to a head.
Well, on that note, we better leave it there. Stephen Mayne, thank you so much. It's always great to hear your views.
Thank you.
Stephen Mayne is a media commentator and shareholder activist.